This is Noah Schechter, writer of episode 1006, Dr. Lankin Perillos, part two. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
If we could just get proper care for our inmates, then they wouldn't keep escaping prison. Welcome to the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. Greetings, one and all. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. I have a cold. And I also hate Bumblebee Yellow, too.
Just yellow. That color? But not Bumblebee.
No, I hate Bumblebees, and I hate Bumblebee Yellow. Thanks for joining us yet, because it reminds me of Bumblebees. Thank you for joining us yet again on the final season of The Blacklist for number 70, Dr. Lankin Perillos, part two, which was written by Noah Schechter and directed by Michael Caracciolo. I always say your name wrong, Michael, but you do a great job. Show notes and our intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com.
I can't believe this is our 250th podcast episode.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Not mine.
It's crazy.
I came in the beginning of season two. So is it 250 for us or just 250 for Blacklist Exposed?
250 for Blacklist Exposed / TV
as
Talk.
As a whole. Wow. How's that feel?
Tiring.
Yeah.
Feels like I need a vacation and need to, you know, only be in like 5 minutes of the episode.
Okay. Well, in 5 minutes, Troy's just going to drop. It'll just be me hacking.
That's how it'll work. Welcome. If you guys are new to the podcast, awesome that you found the show this late in the run. But as most of you know, we do our profiling question of the week. Then we go ahead and get into this week's case profile. And then, of course, hear from all of you, the fans, in our special agent intel at the end of the show. And we are just curious from all of you. Are you big fans of blacklisters that are not connected to Red coming out of last week's episode?
Yeah, that was the question. And 42% of you said, yeah, I watched the show religiously. 36% of you said, no, this is not my blacklist. And 22% said, I don't care about blacklisters at all. Just give me my Red on my screen. Well, 22% of you didn't see much this week. I can tell you that.
That's for sure.
Yeah, but that makes sense. That feels right. Those numbers feel right.
It's interesting that people wouldn't even care about blacklisters. So do they just want backstory on Red? Is that would that be what you would put in there then?
I just want Jane Spader chewing scenery. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Chewing on right? Something. Goat breast.
Nice. The question for next week, which blacklisters are you wanting to see again this season? Because we're getting several. We know Freelancer and Troll Farmer will be back, but who else do you want to see?
Who do you want to see?
Honestly, I'm in a brain fog. A lot of cold medicine, so I don't know right now. What do you got?
I mean, Vanessa Cruz is always one that comes up the most.
Yeah, I would like to see Vanessa Cruz again. Another murder mystery episode would be nice, too.
Yeah, especially like because Wu Jing needs a sniper.
Exactly. There we go. Do you like Wu Jing as the big bad here? Or are you hoping for a different big bad?
I don't mind Wu Jing. I mean, he's more dastardly feeling than Townsend was.
Mm-hmm.
Townsend just felt like a over, you know, arching, just crazy character because of his manic sleep problems and medicine he was taking and just screams a lot and just seemed over the top. Wu Jing at least seemed more criminal. And I like that he's got like his little band of army. So you feel, not that he is Red, he feels more like Red, where he at least has an operation and a plan. So, no, it doesn't bother me. I like to see Wu Jing meeting people in more places than just a table.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Like, be more interesting in the conversations of blacklisters when you meet up with them. I think that would be the case. But I could understand, you know, Stacy Keach would rather have a drink and a cigar as he has his conversations rather than, you know, running around at Coney Island or something.
I think I would just rather have a bigger reason why he's taking so long to get this done. You know, when he could just take him out, I don't quite get why he's dragging this out and he wants to prove that Red did this and da da da. Like, I don't think that has really been, I mean, that's part of an end game that we haven't got to yet. It's very possible.
No, I mean, his motivation is that he was put in jail.
Yeah, I get that, but I, Was that really a good enough motivation for that? I got to bust him. He's got to go to jail as opposed to just tank him out.
Hey, but you knew what I wanted, which was like somebody from the past KGB being this person. I think that would have been interesting.
True. Very true. All right, well, let's get into it. We're already talking about
Yeah, because Aaron's going to double cross me. So before he does that, let's get into this week's case profile.
How do you know I haven't already?
It's probably true.
Exactly.
Who's knocking on my door right now? I got to go check the doorbell. Who's at my door? I got to go check my doorbell.
Yeah. Boom, boom. That's the noise when the bullet makes. All right. You might remember Dr. Lakin Perillos as Townsend's torture specialist who was taken alive by the FBI after torturing Dembe in season 8. Do you remember? Did you remember that before?
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah. He's never going to talk either.
Well, I kind of love the opening where Perillos is working at the Kinks and Laverne Cox is back to school to prison on bad health care policies. I like this opening.
Yeah, the opening was great. I couldn't tell if she was actually like in that prison or if she was like on loan to that prison. That was the only part that was a little bit weird for me at first.
It felt like she was part of it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. It opens where you think there's some freakiness going
on. Hanky-panky going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it turns out Perillos is getting sprung for Wu Jing's purposes. So Wu Jing needs Dr. Perillos for torture, but of whom? And then he asks her, would you like to know your number? So before we get to the Dembe portion, I like that little nod to the actual blacklist.
I did too. I thought that was very clever to put that in there because I didn't realize people knew that they had numbers.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, but apparently it's out there.
It was scratched on Marvin Gerard's piece of paper.
He got a lot of stuff out there in that brief time.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, get a notebook. I got a lot of details. Let's go.
He also had to do a lot of favors in the laundry room in order to get that notebook and a pencil.
Well, that's a conversation for another time. What was Marvin Gerard doing in the laundry room? So Soren traps Dembe to get tortured again so they can prove Red is working for the FBI this time. And Soren does die over it. He gets away, but they get his phone, which immediately made me leery that someone is going to go after his daughter. You?
Yeah, I thought there was going to be something that was either he gets the entire Red manifest because there's all, you know, Google Sheets or something stored on the phone because Dembe has all this information. So I thought that was one angle they could have played. The other one would have been that he would at least get Cooper's number because he probably has Cooper's number stored on there, or wrestler's number, and then draw a wrestler out into the field. So lots of things on your phone. So make sure you don't leave it behind in your Ubers when you're breaking into people's junkyards, climbing fences. At least make sure it's locked before you do.
Yeah, or just, you know, don't drop it. And don't break in the junkyard. Don't break laws. Ever, unless it's really necessary.
And always have a coat on hand so you can jump over that barbed wire.
It is always convenient. People always drop their phones. I'm like, people don't drop their phones in those moments, man. They hold on to them tightly. Tightly.
Good writing, whatever, though, to have said that the phone was in the pocket of the jacket and the jacket was stuck on the barbed wire, though. I mean, that seems realistic. Not something that would just be made up for the convenience of television.
Did it... Well, hang on. I'll get there. So Dembe breaks into a house with a woman and a young son, and Dembe speaks many languages, turns out.
We knew that.
So love that scene where he beats a smack out of them when he knew he was empty. I like that scene where he was counting. He heard the guy in a different language saying he was out, and then he just decides to beat the smack out of him. I love that. That was a fun Dembe scene.
I also love when the kid gives him the bat. And then he's like, no, you take care of that. You keep it.
Yep, exactly. It's fun Dembe moments here. But if you want me alive, let them go. And he's caught again.
How do you feel about Dembe getting caught this easily? I mean, as far as like falling for Soren's trap in the first place. And then a kid and his mom being the thing that causes him to get caught.
Well, I feel like a couple minds because Perillos. So that's why you broke her out? Just, I don't know. I just, it feels like we did this episode.
you broke her out to torture Dembe to get the location of the black site, which, don't you have his phone? Couldn't you just do some kind of like hack and trace of where the phone has been and re-engineer where he had been that day?
Mm-hmm.
Much simpler, much easier.
Yeah, I mean, I thought if you're going to break up Perillus, there would be a better, not necessarily better, but a different target. Maybe a Cooper, or a bigger target. Maybe right. Red. You know, maybe you get Red and we get a little tantalization of Red's going to confess. Something along those lines.
Even though she also tortured Red previously, too, so that would have been the same episode, but.
Okay, well, that's true.
But the episode,
Yeah,
the episode itself wasn't bad. Like, the writing was really good. It was actually somewhat entertaining for most of the episode.
I enjoyed the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like Perillus and I like Laverne Cox. So that was good to have her back. But just being practical, just felt a little bit, parts of it were kind of repetitive. We've been there before.
Where's the task force, Aaron? Where's the task force?
Who does number two work for? All right. Well,
Have you solved any clues yet is the question.
Yeah, exactly. Wu Jing wants to know how he went from being Red's right hand to the FBI. And we do too. That's a great question. I wish he would have answered that one.
Yeah. Who cares where the location of the task force is?
How do you get to be the FBI?
Dr. Perillus, press on that one.
Yeah. Because we're all kind of wondering. We're all just a little bit like, how did that really happen? But hey, here we are. Dembe joining the task force was sweet in a sick kind of way. I like that. Perillus wants to know about the task force, and also you love him, don't you? You love Red. So there's a few interesting questions in there. He doesn't give up the task force location or the members, which I appreciated. Go Dembe. You know, he's tough. He's not going to do it. And then a big question that's probably an overarching season question. Raymond Reddington can never be redeemed. Do you believe this is what I'm asking you?
I think Red himself has said many times that he doesn't feel like he can ever find the light again.
Yep, and I know we have, but let's say it again. No. I don't think so. You know how much good you'd have to do to overrule the wrong? And when you're doing the wrong for the right reasons, like the blacklisters, but you're doing it for mostly selfish reasons, that's not really doing good.
Right. It's like saying you showed up and you were like, I did this great thing, but because of this great thing, I got some awesome press.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, there's no way you're going to get redeemed because you got your own daughter killed.
Yeah. You can say that.
You see how I left that open there? Didn't like confirm that he was the mother or the father, because I know people think both ways sometimes.
Well, the show itself has...
has answered it.
Yeah. Answered. They've already confirmed both of those things either way. All right. So Wu Jing needs to prove Red is complicit and wants to find the troll farmer, Bo Chang, and convince him to help. You remember the troll farmer. Give people a back plan.
Yeah, troll farmer was basically someone who could hack social media and make up stories so that way you would believe what's actually going on through social media and the actual media. So that was him. It was season 3, episode 1, when Red and Liz were on the lam for the first time together, and he had to like make up a story so that the people would stop chasing him.
Yeah. Really good at what he does.
Still doesn't want to take Wu Jing's call.
Now, my question is, that was 7 years ago. You think Troll Farmer still is good at it? I mean, social media is kind of already doing that on its own. Doesn't really need his help.
Yeah. I mean, I literally just watched over on Paramount Plus Kiefer Sutherland's new show, Rabbit Hole.
Ooh, how was that?
Very similar to this concept. They these corporate espionage, and they basically fabricate stories and put them in the news in order to take down companies.
Interesting.
And it's got a weird you don't know who's really on whose side feel to it. So it's actually quite. I've got 2 episodes in, and it's actually got a big twist at the end of the 2nd episode. It's good, good stuff.
I gotta check that out.
So if you like Blacklist, you'll definitely like Rabbit Hole on Paramount Plus.
Which is ironic, because Kiefer Sutherland was gonna be Raymond Reddington. Fun fact, if you didn't know it. All right, well, we're going to see Troll Farmer soon. We don't know for what purposes just yet, but we're going to see him soon. Perillus is angry at Dembe for putting her in the cage that she was in and wasn't there for her mother, sounds like. The FBI, of course, gets there in time to save Dembe, who is going into cardiac arrest. Thankfully, there's a feed store nearby, which means Sia gets to see firsthand exactly the benefits to being on the task force, that there's always medical care nearby. Apparently, hospitals are always too far away.
Because the feed store is Red's hospital, not the task force hospital.
Right. Yeah. And Perlis is expected to be taken care of, but we don't see it. So do you think this is the last we're going to see of her?
I mean, it didn't say part two at the title card. It said conclusion. So
that's true. Okay.
You could see her again, but she would not be the actual focus of the episode where she would be the blacklisted on the title card. Because it did say conclusion.
To me, if you're going to say take care of her, what? Maybe they're just shipping her off somewhere. Doesn't have to be a bullet in the head, right? Yeah,
I think Wu Jing's more of a shoot first, ask questions later kind of guy.
It just feels like you went through a lot of trouble to break out a torture specialist, and you think you might only need torture one time? You're probably going to need a torturer again.
Yeah, maybe.
But
Wu Jing's one-sided. He just needs to get the details he needs on the task force. That's it.
But he broke her out to torture the untorturable. Is that a word? I don't know if that's a word. But it's been proven. I mean, we already knew that Dembe wasn't going to crack, so.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, Dembe, you had that small, trauma response flash of when he was sitting in the war room and they were talking about Lincoln Perlis, and he had that flashback to remind us like who it was, but from Dembe's perspective. So it feels like a trauma response. So a second go at Dembe might have gotten him to break.
Quite possible. Sure.
And he might have broken had he not gotten into cardiac arrest first. Because people kept interrupting her.
It's just at the end of the episode, I'm on Perlis' side. I'm like, there's no reason to put this woman down. There's none. Zero.
Except
did everything you asked for no reason whatsoever. This is why you can't trust criminals.
Well, that's why I was saying why she should be put down, because that's criminal 101. Like, you're a criminal, I'm a criminal, we did work together, but now you think I'm coming after you, so you're going to put me down first. You have to take them out.
It's just you can't trust them. It's almost like they're notorious liars. So, what are you going to do? So, overall, what did you think of the episode? I enjoyed
it. Nice pullback there, by the way. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Didn't think anybody would catch it. Overall, what'd you think of the episode? I did think it was a bit repetitive, but I still enjoyed it. It was a fun episode, and it's always fun when Dembe's a focus, because I think Dembe doesn't get enough screen.
Yeah, no, and I think for him being off last week and then being able to actually be 90% of this, you know, going to Soren, doing the chase scene, all that, Hisham did a great job this week. Love the fact that Hisham's character was never supposed to be a permanent fixture, and he was, you know, in season one, and now here he is getting basically his own episode.
Yeah, and on the FBI now. I bet he never saw that when he joined.
No, definitely not.
He's like, hang on, wait. Season 9, I'm going to be in the FBI? All right, let's do this.
Wait, I actually have to speak lines in season 9?
I'm like a major supporting character.
Long way since the New York Fire Department.
Absolutely. Really, really dug this episode and thought he did very well. And also, again, it was good to see Laverne Cox back. You know, absolutely. She rides a nice line of almost a B-movie villain, you know, but also like staying within this world. So I like how she plays it. I hope it's not the last we see of her, because I don't like when characters are assumed dead, but we don't actually see them taken out. So to me, they're always alive until I see them dead. Always. It's TV. It's just how it works.
It's how it works.
All right, let's break down some minor character stuff. We didn't get a lot this week, but we'll go through it.
Yeah, but we did get a song this week, surprisingly. It was like, oh, wait.
We did. Oh. At the end, it felt like old times.
I know. I hear music coming on. I hear lyrics. And the lyrics that we heard were Chris Garnow's Ballard, as Wrestler and Sia chat, and Red says goodbye to Robert Vesco. And you can hear that song and more over on the playlist, both Apple and Spotify. You can get links to both of those over on our website at theblacklistexposed.com.
I think they just heard us talking about we needed more music. That's what it was.
Yeah. And for those that might be asking for an Amazon music list, there's a lot of music to move over. So if I can figure out a way to do that quickly, I'll try to make that happen, but no promises.
Sounds like a no. What if that sounds like? Sounds like a no.
Maybe after the show's over. I'll work on it.
You'd think there'd be a way to import that, don't you?
There's actually an app that's called Song Switcher. That's how I move the stuff from one service on Apple over to Spotify and back again. Once I have playlists made, I don't know if it does Amazon Music, though. That's what I have to check out.
That's interesting, though. Of course, there's an app for everything. Literally everything.
It's a magical app, I'll tell you that. If you have, because I make playlists, and then but I have Spotify and I have Apple Music. So then I use this to move it over to Spotify so I can send the playlist link to my friends that use Spotify.
I dig it. All right. Well, Dembe. So this episode, we already talked about him a lot, but we found out why he was sick last week. Because soft shell crab is bad.
Everybody blames the seafood.
It's true. That's true. I've had raw chicken. That'll do it too. Trust me.
On a cruise ship, if I remember correctly.
Yep. That was on a cruise ship. My mistake. Don't eat it when it's bloody. That's a rule. Soren has reached, I've been on many cruise ships, so many times ever happened, so relax. Don't write a letter.
Yeah.
Soren is reaching out to Dembe directly, doesn't want to reach out to Red because of some port issues, whatever. All I saw was Admiral Akbar going, it's a trap. Agreed?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us
knew you shouldn't have went, Dembe. All of us.
I can understand Soren's point of view, though. He's like, man, I screwed up. Red's going to kill me. I'm like, that's also true.
All of us, everyone, knew you didn't go, and you went anyway. It's kind of on you.
Yeah.
Kind of on you. Wrestler, we get another speech from Wrestler. There's a cost. What happens to the ones who survived? Basically, you change as a person. I mean, we've heard this speech before, and he's not wrong.
At this point in the game, we've seen him give these speeches to Sia a few times now. Do you feel like we're at a point where it's like Daddy Wrestler?
No. Actually, what I think, you want to know what I think?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's setting this up because she's going to do something bad at some point because she does know the cost because her mom died. She's going to go after Red in some way. And I think he's trying to justify why she would.
So it's basically the Liz replacement in that regard. Wrestler's like, don't do this, Liz. Don't do this, Liz. And then he's like, okay, I'll help you, Liz. I'll help you, Liz. And then he's like, no, don't do it, Liz.
Maybe. I could see that. I think I could see her being compromised or something, or going off rogue after Red because she finds out some more information about her mom, or already knows more information about her mom. Goes after Red. Something happens to her. And then he just, he's trying to reiterate that he's already flawed to a degree. He's already made some personal choices he wouldn't have done if he wouldn't have joined this task force. And I think once that happens, then he goes after Red. I really feel we're going to have a Wrestler after versus Red at the end of the season.
I mean, that would make sense because it was chasing him prior to the show starting.
Absolutely. And Eisendrath has been quoted as saying Wrestler will be the last one standing. So I don't know if that literally means last one standing against Red, because I'm sure everybody will be alive. But I think it will mean that he's the one going after Red for some reason.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a connection, and I meant father figure, not actual.
Oh, daddy. No. Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's going to hook up with his daddy.
No.
Although it's Wrestler, so it could happen.
It could happen.
It could happen. Guy's a player. He just pulls him in. He doesn't get much else to do. Hera doesn't move, of course. So he's pretty solid this week, pretty stoic, does his thing. Actually, none of the characters really get much to do except Dembe.
Right.
This week.
It's a very Dembe-focused episode.
No Tadashi. Cooper's barely here. Sia does get to see the perks of the task force. We talked about that. Are you happy with what they're using her for so far this season? I mean, we're about, five episodes in?
Yeah, I really, really loved her in the poker episode.
Yeah, so did I. The Casino Royale.
Yeah, that episode she was really good in. So, let's get her more screen time, because I think she's actually not that bad.
I think she's good. I really enjoy her. All right. Well, that brings us to Vesco. That was a big emotional.
I lied to you.
Yeah.
More importantly, I think that we need to see if she's going to be staying overnight, going through a whole bunch of old Blacklister case files, like we need to see that happening because she's going to find something in those case files that could set up an episode in the future. That's what I would think. Not the whole, sure. Not the whole evening, not, you know, an entire hour of going through boxes, but
just make sure Rustler's not in the building when she's doing that.
Exactly.
Cause then the sketch comes out and then it goes downhill and we know where it goes. You know what I'm saying? Even then, hair doesn't get messed up.
Right.
All right. Can I go to the emotional moment now?
You can.
Okay. Robert Vesco. Now, we assessed correctly that he was a mole for Red.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
I was so my goodness.
I was so taken aback.
I know. Shock and awe. Still making wine on his toilet. I like that line. He's got several good lines in here. It seems Vesco helped break Perillos out of prison.
Yep. It sounds like he had his network of people bring those medical devices in to get her out.
And yeah.
Knew the IT guy or whatever to come in that way.
But he also helped find Dembe. So if you missed that, which I don't see how you would, when he was sitting there having a coughing fit, he dialed his phone and dropped his phone so they could trace it to the location where Dembe was. So he basically saved Dembe's life.
Oh, is that and what he was doing? I thought he was just having a coughing fit because he's an older guy and smoked cigars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. And then broke out another one.
So you can be you can be smart enough, Robert, to have a cigar and a phone, but you're not smart enough to have two phones.
Or if you're going to be a mole for Red, Red doesn't give you like a little button that you push to tracking, emergency tracking device, since he knows you're going to be part of this whole thing. I'm just saying Red could have prepared you a little better.
I mean, it's not like most of us like have corporate jobs are carrying a personal phone and a work phone. So we already carry two phones. Like you could have carried two phones and just been like, what, this phone right here? Wujing. I don't know what you're talking about. It's not my phone.
Yeah, that would have been a good con man pull out, right?
That's what I would have done.
And it was a flip phone, which means it sounds like it was a burner phone. So how the hell you know it's his? I guess because that's where he had his coughing fit. But
right. And because it's the last number dialed.
Fine. Fine.
But it's a flip phone. You can totally put two flip phones in your pocket, especially if it's like the old Motorola Razors where they're
absolutely
really big.
Absolutely, you can. Absolutely.
Yeah. Carry two phones, Robert.
What the hell? Oh, well. Too late now. We now know that Vesco is a full turncoat, a mole, if you will. And there's a scene where, like a flashback, when they finally show the conversation that they had, and Red basically says, hey, if you don't want to do this, don't worry about it, basically. And Vesco says, if you ever try to toss me a parachute like that again, it'll be the last thing you ever do. You understand? Meaning, don't coddle me. I can do this.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Although it was fun to watch the guy get his head bagged in the earlier episode, and then they come back to that, and then, because you think that that's the first time that Red and him are actually talking, and then when he pulls the cover off and you see that it's Robert and he's just like, he totally bought it. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. All right, so he does call him Woo-Woo. I really want more people to, I want Red, whenever he gills Wujing, to call him Woo-Woo. It's kind of a moral imperative at this point.
As he's dying, he just goes, Woo-Woo-Woo-Woo-Woo.
Yeah, that works. Goodbye, Woo-Woo. I like that better. Yeah, so this is where we get the death of Robert Vesco. Now, that was a surprise. Did not see him dying in this episode. I really thought he'd be around for several. So what did you think about taking Vesco out?
I was taken aback. I thought that we spent so much time putting Stacey Keach back in the show for over multiple episodes, and it was like, man, like we just got some good stuff from him in the way he was acting and all the quippy lines he was talking about with Wujing and
the relationship with
Red. And it was like, man, why did we kill him off so fast?
Agreed. I would have liked to see that seasoned a little bit more.
Yeah. I was verklempt.
Ooh. Wow.
Let me give you a topic. Do you think he's really dead or not really dead? Because this is the Blacklist, after all.
We saw him as dead. So, yeah,
I think he's dead. We saw Red kiss his forehead. That's how we know people have died.
That's true.
Like Liz on a street corner.
Oh,
for those that are still on the Liz is still alive on an island somewhere theory.
Although, I'll be honest, if at the very end of the season they show Liz and she's alive on an island somewhere, I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to go with it. Okay. But yeah, it was sad because I like Stacy Keach a lot, and I thought Robert Vasco was a good character, fun character. Loved the con man in him and playing all the sides and the relationship with Red. So that was a really sad scene. It was very sad.
It kept it interesting. You never really knew where he stood.
Even though we did.
Yeah, even though we totally did.
That's a trap.
Well, we'll miss the character because he's definitely dead. But
for sure.
Now Red has more motivation to go after Woo Woo.
Yeah.
I got to try and do that more often. All right. Red. Well, apparently he's on a sick day this week because he's barely in the episode. But we do get a nice Red and Dembe scene and some nice flashbacks. So you rest, Dembe. I like that. That was a nice touch.
It's almost like, you know, we see him at people's bedsides when they're family members.
Feels like it.
The people he cares about greatly.
So not us. He wouldn't show up at our bedside.
Hell no.
Nope. Just be in the shadows. So we saw Vesco dead. We did not see Perillo's dead. So there's a good chance Perillo's can come back. But Vesco, this is the farewell episode.
Agree.
Yeah.
Which is why we spent some money on the music to go over the sequence.
True.
For the emotional impact.
Lots of emotional impact. But I do like that you get a Red and Dembe scene. Anytime they get together, and it shows that no matter where Dembe is, Red's still on his side.
For sure. Yeah. And vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Yep. Even though he won't help him with his business, he's not going to rat him out or get him hurt either.
Agree.
Dembe.
Agree.
All right. Well, we end with Red finding Vesco dead. That very, very sweet scene. And then Raymond Reddington is going to put a bullet in Wu Jing because, as Vesco says, he's Raymond Reddington. I like that. That was good. Not afraid of death at all. Just said, he's going to put a bullet in you because he's Raymond Reddington.
Fun times.
Fun times.
Good episode overall.
Yeah, it was a good episode. And I feel like we're starting to get toward the season. You know, like the season. Now we're starting to see some other blacklisters roll out. That's what we were hoping for. No more Dockery affair nonsense. You know, we're not that that episode was bad or anything, but just had nothing to do with the final season.
Right.
So looking forward to what's coming next with the troll farmer or whoever else comes down the road. Which we'd like to know what you guys think. Like, who do you want to see? But first, I want to take a quick second and say thank you to those of you that are supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's PATREON, patreon.com/theblacklistgsm. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklister, Patricia. Also, special shout outs to our task force members, Marilyn, Cindy, Jacob, James, Jens, Joanne, Johnny, Justin, Karen, Catherine, Richard, Sharon, Lacey, Ann, Vanessa, Emily, all official task force members. All these people receive cool gifts from us. You can get one as well if you donate at the $20 level or higher, like a cool t-shirt or a coffee mug. You don't have to stay at that level for forever, just for a few months to get the cool gifts.
And some changes, of course, as we know, the $5 level is now getting you the episode for free early. That's right, before everybody else. So you can go ahead and get this episode immediately on Mondays. And of course, then everybody else gets it on Tuesdays. So if you want to be in the know before anyone else, head on over to PATREON. That's patreon.com/theblacklistgsm. Hit the dollar sign in your podcast app or fill the fedora on the website. And stay tuned because we got much more from all of you coming up right after this.
You obviously love podcasts, but are you also a fan of movies and television? Do you want to listen to a show that reviews entertainment honestly and casts pretentiousness to the wind? That debates both film and TV topics in a fun, good-spirited way while still getting to the heart of why we all love them so much? Then don't miss the award-winning weekly podcast, The Hollywood Outsider, now available on your favorite podcast app or at TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
Hey, Dembe loyals, this is Hisham Taufik. You are listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Okay, Special Agent Intel, here's some thoughts from the fan community. Traveling Slim. So far, I'm quite a bit upset with the first half of this season. Out of all the shows I've watched in my life, I've had the most hope and confidence that Blacklist would have a full final season where each episode ramped up to a spectacular series finale. I'm starting to feel like they probably only had enough good ideas to save them for the second half and made the first half filler episodes. I can't even call them Blacklisters when they don't have a number, no connection to Red, and aren't on the list.
really good TV, but just not Blacklist capable levels of what we've seen in the past.
They had a great final season. Just go to season 8.
Yep.
And start over.
And start over. And just be prepared for the Shakespearean ending. Which seems like the right ending for a show like this. Nate said the Blacklisters for this season and last season have been lame and boring. So boring that they had to keep mentioning Liz all last season. And even some parts of this season. There are a lot of people that don't feel it was clear about who Red is. It was clear as mud and cement mixed with steel reinforcement.
Is that sarcasm?
From Nate, apparently it is, yes.
I don't know, Nate. It felt pretty clear to me. I mean, you go back and listen to our episodes back
then. He's saying it was clear. He's saying there's people that feel that it wasn't clear, and he's saying it was clear as mud in cement mixed with reinforced steel.
Which is saying it's not clear. That's what he's saying. And I'm saying it is clear. I thought it was pretty clear.
No, clear as mud is just a saying.
Sergey, the idiocy of making a character suddenly much more interesting and then killing him. Is this Vesco?
Yeah, Vesco.
It's like they brought the flunky screenwriters from Alias out of retirement. Wow. We're getting some negativity. Is this going to shift at some point?
Maybe.
Okay.
Randy said, I like this episode. See, there you go.
There you go.
It took a turn. I have a feeling the ruthless Red is coming back now to protect the task force at any cost. This episode is the Kickstarter for Red's going away party.
There we go. That's what I want to see. Some positivity. Monica, goodbye, Robert. You were a good friend. So long, psycho doctor. That's what you get for hurting Dembe. Didn't see her die. With the look on Reddington's face, I believe he is going on offense against Wu Jing, and he is not taking prisoners. Robert found out what Reddington already knew. He is going after the task force by attacking the post office. That's why Red was looking for a certain kind of building in an earlier episode. He's going to relocate his FBI friends. Who's next on Wu Xing's list? Wrestler, Cooper, Agnes? Wrestler tells Sia about how much this job has changed him. Could he be the one who takes over Red's enterprise when he goes? Stay tuned, folks. Okay, two things. One, I like that idea about he's building a new
post office, a new black site.
I like that.
I do like that.
That did not occur to me. So good thinking. And the other thing is, Wrestler take over Red's enterprise when he goes? I mean, he could. He knows more about it than anybody.
I mean,
except Dembe.
I mean, he was the closest thing to being Liz's actual husband, because we know that Tom wasn't the actual husband because he's dead.
Mm. Yeah. You said it, not me.
Set you up for that one.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Could Wrestler? Yeah, I think that would be interesting, because he could do good by just running the Blacklist. Like, he could still take Blacklisters down, which morally for him could be a positive thing.
And then Reddington just becomes an idea, not necessarily a person.
Assuming, yeah, exactly, like the Dread Pirate Roberts. Yeah,
right. Maybe that's why he keeps setting it up with Sia, talking about how it changes people.
Yeah, it could be. And the Skinner. Remember the Skinner episode, too.
Yeah, I like that. It's an interesting idea.
Dee Dee said it was good to see that Red still loves and cares about Dembe. On the other hand, it was sad to see the end of Robert. Mm-hmm. I was looking forward to seeing him and Red working together for a while, a little bit longer, but at least he went out saving Dembe. Overall, it was just an okay episode to me. We saw the torture before, so nothing new there, and still not enough Red.
Yeah, that keeps happening. A lot more Red at the end, but he really wasn't in the episode until the end.
Right.
But, you know, this is what it is. Negotiate those contracts, huh? Get his money. Do what you can. Chuck, much better episode this week. This is what we wanted from season 10. Revisit a great Blacklister and move the war closer to a conclusion. Because it is the last season, they can sell the idea that a core person like Dembe can be taken out. The moves with Vesco were telegraphed, but still made for good TV. I was on the edge of my seat for an hour, and I'm invested in what's next. Makes me appreciate how good this show was at its best. Chuck, I never for a second thought Dembe was being taken out.
No, never thought he was being taken out.
Nope. Not even a little.
But it is reminiscent of what the show used to be, and that's because Noah Schechter has been with the show since the beginning. So
yeah, he's a good writer.
Good writer.
Yep. But they did get me the Vesco. So they diverted me enough with Dembe to get me to take my eyes off the Vesco train. Mm. So that death really did surprise me.
Yeah, I was surprised the death was there too.
Yep.
Aww. I'm not surprised that the death was there. I'm surprised they actually went through with it. I think that's the better.
I'm more surprised when it occurred. I figured it definitely Vesco was going to get killed. I just felt that way. Because Red has to lose someone right. to get him motivated to fire back, you know? And I think it's too early in the season to take out task force members, really. Unless maybe it's a mid-season thing. I could see that definitely happening. I don't want an Agnes takedown because I feel like we had that for 8 seasons.
Right.
And it's tired.
We don't want to take Cooper out because Ressler already ran the task force once, not so well. So
exactly. Don't
need that story again. Sorry, Sia. Yeah. Looks like you're the one that's going out.
But I will say, the way I understand it, Aram is supposed to come back, yes, at some point?
He's supposed to pop in.
Okay. Well, I could see him coming back if someone on the task force was immeasurably hurt. There's what I'm saying. There's my theory.
Yeah, Wrestler's been in the hospital for major injuries too many times. I don't know how many more major injuries he can take.
Right. But if Cooper was seriously injured or Agnes was taken, which that would bring Aram back.
If Agnes was taken, that's the one I could buy.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that episode, but that at least I can buy that one because Aram and Agnes has a special relationship.
Yep. So that would definitely bring him back. So I could see that.
Because Cooper being hurt and Aram coming back to run the task force because he's already done that. Again, already seen that. Don't need to see it again.
But I will tell you, I mean, long-running TV shows, it's probably going to happen because Agnes is the most logical. Once it's established that they understand that Agnes is his granddaughter, theoretically, she's probably going to get it taken.
Indubitably?
Indubitably.
Most positively? Okay.
Well, that's it. That's going to conclude this discussion. So now is the time to recommend The Blacklist to your enemy, your friend, your neighbor, whoever. And when you do, please also recommend that they listen and subscribe to The Blacklist Exposed podcast. All the case profiles can be found at theblacklistexposed.com and everywhere great podcasts can be heard. And I want to thank all the great cold medicines out there for getting me through this episode. Yes!
Definitely. For more great Aaron and Troy hijinks, follow us on your favorite social media outlets. I'm at Troy Heinrichs. He's at Aaron Smirks. Together, we are at The Blacklist GSM. We do another podcast called The Hollywood Outsider. Make sure you check that out. This week, we talked about streaming services and who's winning the war. So make sure you go ahead on over to thehollywoodoutsider.com for more information.
Sweet. Well, big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. Which blacklisters do you want to see next? Who do you want to see next? Get creative. They got to be alive, though.
I mean, we could see a dead blacklister where there's something stored inside their body that they have to go dig up from a grave.
Okay, that's kind of, we could do that.
We could
there's
do
a it. Chip.
Yeah.
There's a chip in their pocket or in their brain.
Or let's just do it. Need a femur.
Let's do it. I'm in.
To open up a labyrinth somewhere.
Why not? Why not? Secret bunker. Another secret bunker. He's got more secret bunkers.
All around the world. It's the same song.
And I. I'm out of here. All right. Take care, guys.
Have a good week. See you next week. Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.